Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Full said, amen and amen. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. God is so good, amen. I just want to take a moment this morning and just thank you for all you coming out on this rainy, snowy, cold winter day. Appreciate you coming and being a part of service. If this is your first time here, we are so glad for you. Amen. And so we hope that you really do enjoy your worship experience here today. A couple things that I wanted to mention before we get into our message today. Some sad news, but also some happy news. Our beloved sister Donna DeBolt passed away, and she is now in heaven. Amen. So she is rejoicing with the Lord. She's with her husband, Joe. And while it's sad for us in the sense that we will miss her, we rejoice with her in the knowledge that she is in the presence of God. Can you say amen? And so wanted to let the congregation know about that. Also, we wanted to let everybody know that Howie is going to be starting up the Readiness of Berea Bible study. This is going to be on Thursday the 11th at 6:30, classroom number 4. And he's going to be starting a Bible study on the book of Revelation. So you don't want to miss that. Be a part of that, once again, 6:30 in classroom 4 on Thursday, starting on Thursday the 11th. And then also, unfortunately, we have some pictures, but I didn't get them. Today is Mission Sunday, and many of you know that we have a great passion for missions throughout the world, and particularly a large part of our missions is in Africa. We support missions there, several different ones, one of which you've heard the name quite a bit, Alex Chambaro. Not only is he a pastor of a church in Malawi, but he is also the overseer of a fellowship of churches. I'm not exactly sure how many, but I know it's many churches that he has had direct influence in and that he oversees. And recently they just had a youth conference. It was a great success. We had part in that through our financial giving. And, you know, many of the things that they do there, we have a part in. And one of the things that's very encouraging about that ministry there is they see some supernatural miracles that are just off the hook. I'm talking about miracles of raising the dead. And we're not talking about one time or maybe two times, but we're talking about multiple times where the church or the pastor or someone in the church goes and they pray and believe God and they see the hand of God move in somebody's life that has passed away. They come back to life to report that they are healthy and well. And so we have part in that. Amen. We have part in that area of the world. Plus, we support missions in Iraq and Egypt and several other places by proxy throughout the Middle East and then in Asia. And even in Europe, we have things that are kind of indirect, but in Ukraine and different places like that. And so this church really is making a difference. Can you say amen? And not only in our community, because we do believe in reaching our community and investing here, but we invest in the greater part of the world as well. And so keep those missions in mind and keep those in prayer. If you say, well, I'd like to know who you're all supporting, out on the rack, out the flyer rack there on the backside of the foyer, there is a brochure of our missions. You can pick up one of those and it'll tell you all about that. And so we want to encourage you in it. So today, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Chapter 43. You know, one of the things that I like about the new year, amen, I was talking to some friends the other day, the gym. They were talking about the wellness center. And one of the things they were saying is the wellness center the last few days has been really, really busy.
Yeah.
You know, and isn't that stereotypical? It's like, okay, enough of this. We've, you know, gone through the holidays. We've picked up, you know, 15, 20, 30, 40 pounds, whatever it is. And you're like, oh, we got to bring an end to this. I need something to happen. I need something to change. Well, wow, this microphone, isn't it? It's going in and out, isn't it? If it's disturbing to you, imagine what it is to me. Because I can hear it. I can hear me going in and out. But I will try to endeavor through. And maybe this year we'll get a new thing. Amen. Hallelujah. One more piece of equipment to fix this one. Amen. And so anyway, people go and they say, man, I need a fresh start. I need to do something different. And you know what? There is a validity in that. Amen. Because that isn't that what the gospel in many ways is all about in our lives, that he makes a transformation in our lives. Just completely going out here. Just microphone. Well,
no, not. Don't even put that curse on me.
Hallelujah! I'll get momentum right back. And so, you know what? We want things that are new. We want to have that revival. We want to have that renewal. We want to have something that is fresh. So with that thought in mind, let me ask you something that is rather direct today. Are you prepared to allow the Spirit of God to change your status quo? Because it's one thing this morning to talk about having something new. It's a whole nother thing to experience something new. Can you say amen? So are you ready for God to do something new in your life? Something unexpected. Are you ready for God to be God in your life? Amen? I'm looking for God. I'm looking for him to do something new in my life. I want to travel down roads that I have never traveled down before. I want to do something in a startling way. Amen? One of the things that I just detest is I detest the predictable. I do not like the status quo day in, day out. What I like is variety. Can you say amen? I like buffets. I know you can't tell by looking at me, but I like buffets. I like a variety of things. I like to see things changing, and I believe that God wants to bring something new to our lives. Can you say amen? Now, here's the problem, is because from time to time, we can develop an attitude that comes across as indifference. We feel like sometimes, what's the big deal, all this talk about the new? What's wrong with the old? Well, the truth is, there is nothing wrong with the old. There really isn't. The old way is a good way. The old thing is a good thing. It was good. But there is a kind of pride that comes with getting stuck, and that's filled with cynical, critical, laid-back unwillingness to embrace something new. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And this prideful attitude, what it does is it will limit our ability to move into what God has for us. It hinders God's ability to do what he wants to do in our lives and through our lives. One of my favorite activities every day is to go to the mailbox. I love getting the mail. I don't know about you, but the reason I love getting the mail is there is always the hope that the check is in the mail. You know what I'm saying? You go to the mailbox, it's like, I don't know what's coming. Now, I get there, I'm oftentimes dismayed because there's bills in the mail. But I look forward to something new. Somebody somewhere thought of me. You know, maybe I had an old, long-lost uncle that had left me his inheritance, and here I get the letter, the certified letter from the lawyers that say, you are a rich man. amen. And I'm thinking, maybe today's my day. I approach that mailbox with some anticipation. Can you say amen? And I think that God wants us to walk through our Christian life with that kind of anticipation and expectation, that every time we come to church, or every time we open the Word of God, or every time we enter into prayer, that God is going to do something new. Can you say amen? See, God loves the new. God loves doing something fresh, because nothing gets old in heaven. Think about that. There is never a day when things are stale in heaven. There is never a day when it is old and worn out. It is always fresh. It is always vital. It is always vibrant. It is always alive. Everything that God is doing is brimming with abundant freshness, newness. Revelations chapter 21, verse 5 says this, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" This is the heart of our God. And I believe that is exactly what he wants to do here in this church and in your lives. We cannot afford this morning the mindset of complacency or apathy. You know what complacency is? That's a big word. It's a $50 word to describe self-satisfaction. It's like, it's good enough. This is good enough. You know what the problem with good enough is? It's the enemy of better. How many know what I'm talking about? God wants to do something new. He wants to do something fresh, and we must not settle for the good old days. Can you say amen? We must look forward to the new thing that God is about to do. So let's look at our text, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says this, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, the background of this particular passage, many believe, is that this is preceding the Babylonian captivity. Israel is just about to be taken captive. They're about to be exiled out of their homeland, taken to Babylon. And so there's all kinds of political and power upheaval. There's all kinds of things going on. And right in this moment, God begins to speak to them. Right in the midst of this moment of intense difficulty and this threat of foreign invasion, God begins to speak to a people that are drifting away from him. That's what's happening here. They've gotten complacent, they've gotten comfortable, they've gotten satisfied, they've got lots going on, and they're kind of drifting away from God. And things are kind of getting a little bit crazy in the world. Does it sound anything familiar to you? It's kind of like, you know, there's all these political things going on. People are trying to grab power. There's this woke agenda going on. I'm certain of it, because we don't vary much and people don't change much. You know what I'm saying? We're just kind of the way we are. That's how people are. And so here they are, and God comes along and he says, "I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do something that is going to blow your mind." Now, there's no doubt that our circumstances are far better than what these people had. Yet in spite of the desperation that exists, God wants to change everything. Let me tell you something. God wants to change things in your life. God wants to change things in our church. God wants to change things in our community. He wants to change things in our marriages, our families, our home. God wants to bring change. Can you say amen? He wants to make all things new. This really should excite us, church. This really should arrest our thinking. It should energize us and thrill us, because God can and often does the impossible.
Just about the time we think there is no hope, God shows up with an abundance of hope. Can you say amen? He becomes the way maker, the promise keeper, amen. The God of impossibles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he can take whatever meager reality exists in our life, and he can make it wonderfully new. Amen. Listen to what God speaks to Israel to prepare them for this new extravagant change in their lives. The verses just before our text says this, in Isaiah 43, 15 through 17, it says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Now here's what God's doing. The first thing that he does to prepare them for this new thing is he reminds them of what he has already done. He says, I am your creator. I am your source. I am the source of all of your being. I am your king. I am good and I am bigger than any circumstance. I am your complete deliverer. I will make a way where there is no way. I am the conqueror and I will overcome all that come against you. Oftentimes it seems as soon as God does a good thing, the enemy comes right in to get even. As Israel approaches the Red Sea, they've been delivered. They've been wonderfully and miraculously delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. God's done 10 off-the-chart miracles. They have come out of Egypt with all the spoil of Egypt. They're traveling to the promised land and they come to the Red Sea, and the very path of their deliverance then becomes the path of the pursuer. But God says to them, just stand still. Just wait and see. This is going to be good. That's what he's telling them. And the Israelites pass through the Red Sea. The waters are parted. They walk across on dry land. And when the enemy pursues into this miracle, the waters close in on them and the deliverance is completed. How many know God is not a God of halfway? God never does anything halfway. God is always a God of completion. You know what the problem is? The problem is oftentimes we just don't trust him. That's what's happening with the children of Israel. They've been delivered. It's awesome. It's off the hook. They're standing there, but all of a sudden they see Pharaoh and his army in hot pursuit, and they get freaked out again. That's very human. It's like, oh, God, you brought us out here to die. What did you do? Well, there was enough graves in Egypt and on and on and on. We know the story of Israel and how they talked to God and all of that. And God says, no, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. Then what God does in this passage, as he says, with all of that greatness, all of that miraculous thing that I did, forget all of it. Don't remember the former things. Don't worry about that. Don't consider it. He's not saying they're unimportant. He's not saying that that you ignore it. He says, don't limit me to it. I'm not limited. I'm not done. You thought that was good? Just wait. There is never a diminishing in God. God never goes backwards. He always goes forward. God never fluctuates. He's always excelling. God is always in a crescendo. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God no sooner reminds us of the mighty things that he does at the Red Sea, and then he says, don't remember the former things. Don't get stuck in what I've already done. See, the problem with much of Christianity is we're stuck. The problem is either we've spent our time reliving old victory, or we spend most of our time nursing old wounds. And this is what God confronts in our text. First, he tells them to tells Israel, and then he tells it to us. He says, don't get stuck here. I know this was off the hook. I know this was greater than what you could have ever imagined. But what I'm about to do is going to blow your mind. How many would agree that the parting of the Red Sea was off the charts? It would have been enough for me. Amen? But I wonder if it really would have been. Because sometimes that kind of stuff fades in our thinking, doesn't it? And sometimes what happens is it just gets dull. But listen to our text in verse 18. He says, forget all of that. In the New Living Translation, it says, forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm about to do or what I'm going to do. Let me say this to you as a church and as individuals. God wants to do something new for us that's beyond anything that we can ever think or ask or even imagine. Maybe last year was a great year for you. It was filled with blessing. Maybe God really did move. Maybe God did great things. Well, let me tell you something. God has more. He has something newer, something fresher, something bigger, something better. Why? Because it is his way. Maybe the past for you, maybe the last year was overwhelming. Maybe it was very difficult. Maybe you struggled last year. Maybe there was all kinds of things that went on. Well, let me tell you something. God's going to change everything. He's going to do a new thing. Verse 19 of our text says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What he's saying is, I don't care what's in front of me. I don't care what kind of obstacle I face. I don't care what kind of situation is going on. I am going to overcome. Amen? That's what he's telling us. God makes a way where there is no way. He heals sick bodies. He restores families. Loved ones come to Christ. Dead-end jobs are revived. Loveless marriages become passionate again. Where there was loss, God will assure abundance. And where there was death, he will bring life. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we think or ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Church, we should never, never let that drop to the ground. We should hang tightly upon that. Now, I know in this day and age, there's all kinds of people that are talking. I was listening the other day to a video where a guy was just bashing the whole thing about increase and prosperity and all these things. He's like, oh, you know what? God's called us to suffer. He's called it, and you know what? There are times when we do suffer. There are times when it's difficult, and there are times when we go with lack. Paul even writes, he says, I've learned to abase, and I've learned to abound. He says, I've learned to be in need, and I've learned to have abundance. He says, what I've really learned to do is to be content in him, because he is my reward. I do not measure my success by the things that I have or the bank account that I enjoy. I do not measure my prosperity or my increase by anything that I can touch. I measure my increase by the depth of my relationship with my Father in heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what Paul was saying. He says, God's faithful. He will never leave me or forsake me. I won't fear what men can do to me. It doesn't matter if I have a lot. It doesn't matter if I have a little, far as the world's standard, because with God, I have everything. And God is able to change it. God never runs out. Do you know that? Do you know that there is no lack in heaven? Amen. There is no time when God looks around and says, Boys, we got to take inventory. We're running a little short here. There's never a time. There's never a time in our lives where God's not ready to invade our dilemma with a divine visitation filled with his newness. We must never get stuck in the past, good or bad. Remember, that was then. This is now. This is a new day. Now this morning, you need to understand something in this promise to Israel and to us, that there is more here than meets the eye. Because in verse 19, our text begins with one powerful word. It says, behold. It's an interjection that is demanding attention. When God writes this scripture, he says, I want you to look at this. I want you to see this. I want you to take a close look. I want you to examine carefully and get clear understanding. This is not always an easy task for us, because oftentimes we have such misconceptions about what God is saying that we really never get a right perspective. But I'll tell you, when you get it, when you get the revelation of this, it will change your life. Too often, because we can't see clearly what God is up to, we buy into the lie that says nothing is happening, or it's just more of the same. Let me tell you, just because, just like that song we sang, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it hasn't started. Just because you don't see his working doesn't mean he's not working. The Bible says it's going to spring forth. This isn't something in the far future. It's beginning now. Are you hearing me? The Hebrew word for spring here in verse 19 is the word for sprout. It's a word that suggests now. God is going to do a new thing now. Well, if he's doing a new thing now, I ought to be able to see it. But what the text actually says, it's going to sprout. Jesus in Mark chapter 4 said these words. He says, Mark 4, 26 and 28, it says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and that the full grain in the head. In other words, before we can see it, before we can see what's going on, there is a sprout. And it's beneath the surface. We don't see it, but it's moving. And if we're not careful, our words will dig up the seed that is growing. Well, I see, I prayed, but God didn't do nothing. He never does nothing for me. You know, the problem is, church, we live in an instant generation. We're too used to having things right now. We want it right now. We want it this instant. Well, God's moving. Remember Daniel, he began to fast for 21 days. He needed some wisdom from God. And finally, when the angel got there, he says, the first moment you prayed, I was dispatched. But I had to do some battle. I had to fight the prince of power of the air. And Michael had to come and help me. I had to get through the enemy lines. It took me a little bit. And sometimes what happens is because we don't see it, we pray for 15 minutes and we wonder, where is God? I'm really preaching to me. And what happens is we get discouraged and we wonder, where are you at, God? Sometimes there is a kairos timing. Sometimes God has an appointment for you and it may not be for a few years yet. It may be something, but it's sprouted, it's moving, it's growing in your life right now. What we need to understand is he's already doing a new thing, and it's already in process. We can't see it, but it's set in motion. Can you say amen? See, when the scriptures speak of life springing forth, you need to picture in your mind a slab of concrete that cannot resist the breaking power of the tiniest blade of grass that pushes its way into daylight. Amen. You've all seen it. You all got driveways, right? And you all see that. It's like, well, how does that grass grow right there? I want to grow tomatoes in my backyard, and I dig up the soil, and I do all that stuff, and I put fertilizer, and they don't grow, and now this grass is growing in the concrete. How is that? How is it that these weeds push through the 4 feet of rock? But there's something powerful about life that's looking for the sun. It'll push through the greatest of obstacles. Jack Hayford said, what God is telling us in Isaiah 43 is that your world is one in which I want to do a new thing, but I want you to recognize it's a new thing in you and a new thing for you. It isn't novelty or sensation. It isn't the richness of my working that will crack through. He says, but it's the richness of my working that will crack through any obstacle that would hinder the fulfillment of my glorious purpose in you. God has a purpose for you. Doesn't matter what man say to you. Doesn't matter the criticism. It doesn't matter the naysayers. It doesn't matter who doubts. It matters what God says. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? When the Lord asks us, shall you not know it? He's saying, do you want to open yourself up to my new thing? Are you willing to embrace it? The word know here in the Hebrew language is far more than just mental insight. It's the total giving of oneself. It's the knowing that takes place in a husband and wife relationship, the two becoming one. This knowing is a total receptivity, a total embrace. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. Will you embrace it? Will you receive it? We're not supposed to watch as spectators, church. We're supposed to run out and go get it. There's an abiding. There is an intensity that says, I want more, God. There's something so gracious yet so mighty about God telling us he wants to do a new thing. And I believe this morning that the Lord's waiting for us to hear him on a personal level. You know, I'm going to bring this message to a close if Jason would come. And I was thinking about this actually this morning, because I think the thing that gets in the way of us realizing the new thing is something I call our logical mind. Yeah. See, what happens is God will nudge us. He will put a thought into our heart, into our spirit. He will whisper something. He'll give us a flash, a vision, a moment where he says, this is what I'm going to do. And it's like, whoa. It catches our attention. But if we're not careful, our natural mind will begin to go to work. And our natural mind will try to figure all that out. It'll try to anticipate, how is God going to do this? How's God going to use me this way? Where's the money going to come from? How are things going to change? How is he going to bring this to pass? How is this going to happen in my marriage? How is this going to happen with my kids? I remember a story of a pastor I've known for a long time. In his life, he was pastoring. They had ministry for years. One day, his wife came to him and said to him, I don't want to be with you anymore. She made this statement. She said, the biggest mistake that I made in my life was marrying you. And she left. And he was left on his own. And through the circumstances, you know, ministry obviously got extremely difficult. And oftentimes he slept in his car, and there was all kinds of things that went on. Friends that said they were friends were no longer friends, and on and on and on. And one day he went to a church where he was seeking some counsel, and they were counseling with him, and that church was going to have a concert. And so he decided to go to the concert. Well, that night he had called his ex-wife. They had been divorced for a couple years, and he had called her and he was pleading with her, please, please. Actually, I think as the story goes, it was a week before the conference. He had talked to her and said, please, let's work this out. Let's work this out. And she said, no, I don't want nothing to do with you. Nothing. And in his mind, he kind of walked away and said, well, I guess there's no hope. This is it. It's done. It's over. So he goes to the concert and, you know, he's just kind of bummed out. It's one of those things where he goes and does his thing, and then the concert ends and he goes to his car, and he thought, oh man, I wanted to get one of those CDs. You know, the concert, you know, the band or the team that was singing. And he goes back in and he's waiting in line, and finally he's like one of the last one in line, and the lead singer is signing CDs and giving autographs and stuff, and he goes up and he says, he says, yeah, go ahead, sign it, and doing that. And all of a sudden, the lead singer looks up at him and says, God just spoke to me. It said, this is a Friday. He goes, this weekend, your wife will be back. That's a little, first of all, that's a little risky for that guy, because he doesn't even know nothing. And then can you imagine that? Now, here, you got to understand, he just talked to her. She says, I don't want nothing to do with you ever. Stop. Well, I think it was the next day she called. And she said, you know what? The worst mistake I made in my life was walking away from you. I'd like to come home. I'm going to tell you something, church. It's never over. It's never over. We see in Scripture, Lazarus is dead 4 days. He's rotting, stinking in the tomb. Martha says, I know you're the resurrection. I get it. On the that day when you come back, we're all going to be raised from the dead and we'll live again. I get it. But you know what? Lazarus is dead now. Maybe you shouldn't have waited. Maybe you should have came when you were asked. And Jesus stands there, thanks God for hearing his prayer, and says, Lazarus, come forth. And in that moment of time, everything changed. That's what the new day is about. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're facing in your home, your family, your marriage, your job, your finances, your health. I don't know. But I do know all of us have challenges. All of us are carrying things that we wonder, is there ever going to be any change? And God says, today's your day. I want to do a new thing. I want to do a new thing. Will you see it? Will you embrace it? Will you believe me? Amen. I'm saying yes. I want to see a new thing. There's lots of things that I've hid in my heart that I want to see, and I'm believing that this year we're going to see them. Can you say amen? Amen. You believe with me. Why don't you bow your heads? Father, we're so thankful for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the new. We thank you that you make a way where there is no way, that you keep every promise, that you work miracles in our lives. And Father, we love you. And I pray, Lord, right now for every person in this room, Lord, no matter what they are carrying with them, no matter what problem, what difficulty, what, even if it's a success, even if there are things that last year was really good, Lord, this year can be even better. Lord, I'm praying right now for every person, Lord, that you would do a new thing in their marriage, new thing in their home, new thing in their family, their children, their work, their finances, their health. Father, a new thing. It's your promise to us, Lord. And we receive it and we embrace it. And Lord, we will not talk ourselves out of it. We will not try to figure it out. And we will not uproot it because we simply can't see it yet. We will just trust you with all our heart. We will not lean to our own understanding, but we will acknowledge you, knowing you will direct our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask the ministry team if they would come. But you know what, church? Let me say this to you before you get up and start moving around. Problem with these kind of messages, in the moment, they can be very exciting. They can be encouraging. But these kind of messages have to be embraced. You have to take it. Take it with you. Go meditate on it. Pray it. Say, God, you're doing a new thing wherever you need him to do a new thing. Declare it over your life. Can you say amen? Why don't we stand to our feet? If you need prayer of any kind, come on up. These will pray with you. We're going to release you today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.